A priest friend of mine went to supply at a church to fill in for someone on vacation. And as he stepped into the pulpit, he walked to the lectern inside to set his sermon notes down and noticed there was an inscription carved into the wood of the lectern. And it said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, if it were post-1976, it would have said, "Sir or Madam, we wish to see Jesus." But it's very scriptural. It's exactly the quote from John, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." My friend told me that it didn't make him very confident stepping into the pulpit, but he never forgot it. But when the Greeks came to Philip and said, "We wish to see Jesus," we have to note that there was some confusion over who Jesus was, really. And if you get as particular as I am, you go back a little bit in history and wonder even if Mary knew who he was, really, most of the time. Imagine a 14-year-old girl preparing to give birth to the Son of the Most High. There had to be some confusion there. Later on, as the boy grew up and he was age 12 and got left behind at the festival in Jerusalem, and his parents came after him, and he said his famous line, "Didn't you know I'd be about my father's business?" What it says about the parents is, "And they knew not what he was speaking of," not understanding. And then Jesus himself, as he went about in his ministry, asked more than once, we think, "Who do people say that I am?" He got the answers, "Some people say you're Elijah, the prophet." Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," whether he knew what he was saying or not, which was common for Peter. "The King of Israel." He had just come through to Jerusalem in the great procession where he was welcomed with palm branches and cloaks. And so he was the King of Israel. So who was this Jesus? What were the Greeks asking for when they were asking to see him? "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So they had witnessed the triumphal entry and somehow ignored the words about the grain falling to the earth and dying. "You must give up your life to save it. The last will be first." That wasn't part of it. The crowd was excited about being with this person, with being part of everything, part of the story. They'll be able to say, "We were there." It's kind of like if you were in New York City and President Obama was coming and you reached out and touched him, you could say, "I touched the president." Or you go to a Bon Jovi concert, bump into them. "I was there." Maybe that's what the Greeks wanted, to be part of the story. Maybe they were about to see who they wanted to see, who they expected to see. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." It could have been about popularity. You know, everybody wants to be around somebody who's popular. Jesus was well known for healing people from their sickness, taking them by the hand, lifting them right off the bed, raising from the dead. He drove out demons that had possessed people for years. So maybe the Greeks were interested in being in the popular circle around where this great person was. Of course, after the crucifixion happened, there wasn't much of a crowd around. They had abandoned him. Maybe they were on to the next popular person. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Maybe it was about power. Maybe they wanted a piece of that power. They wanted to share in it? No. They wanted to take it from him. That could have been where the Pharisees were. You know, maybe his enemies began to become his enemies when they realized they couldn't take that power from him. He was a powerful man. And they realized they couldn't take it, and that made him their enemy. Even two of his disciples on the road whispering, "We want to be on his right hand and on his left." He said, "You have no idea what you're asking. You have no idea." They didn't know the price. The price was the grain of wheat falling to the ground. The price was putting yourself last. The price was being a servant of all. But they didn't know that. They couldn't see it. Why? Because it takes heart to see that, not just eyes. They had to see him with their heart. So how do you get heart? How do you get that kind of heart to be able to see Jesus? You know, I've heard that you can, when you want to follow, you need to see Jesus to follow him. I've heard that. But the more I hang out, the more I think that you have to follow Jesus to see him. But how to get that heart in any case? And that's where Jeremiah comes in. Good old Jeremiah from the Hebrew reading today. You know, Jeremiah has a bad rap. He's cast as the weeping prophet because he mostly gave bad news. Well, the bad news was just, here's what will happen to you if you turn your back on God. Okay, so the people of Israel turned their back on God. The stuff happened, and what did they say? Why is God punishing us? The truth was they were punishing themselves. But where do you get that heart? And here's what Jeremiah said to them. God was about to give them the key. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. And I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest." So this was Jeremiah given the good news. God was about to, instead of writing another bunch of commandments on a slab of rock, put it inside the people of Israel so that it would never leave them. Not only that, the heart is the seat of the will of the human being. So it would be within them. They couldn't smash it on a rock. They couldn't leave it behind when they headed off to the promised land. So God, as their parent, was frustrated about parenting, but he hadn't given up, because that's what we want for our children. We want them to be, don't we, inner directed, not outer directed, not directed by the crowd, directed by God within. My mother used to always say to me, "If everyone jumped off the bridge, would you jump off too?" I thought to myself, yeah, if they like me, if they'll be my friend. Inner directed, not outer directed. God is a parent. God in our hearts, the leading from within and not from the crowd. And you know what God puts in the heart is love. We know the simplest of commandments that Jesus gave us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength and your neighbor as yourself. That's enough. That's enough. And that's the message that he wanted them to have. We want to see Jesus. We want to be closer to Jesus. And we're moving there quickly, liturgically speaking. 2 more weeks before the great resurrection. 1 week before we celebrate that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. On our way closer to see Jesus, I wonder if we'll have the will to hear those words, to feel that death, to know that it's in the dying that is the rising, that it's in the denying that's living, that it's in serving that we are greater. So I'll make that our prayer. Lord, we wish to see Jesus. Amen.